sentencing, and I think that has tended to accomplish the accommodation between the two bills.
Yes, we're satisfied.
Good. Well, I appreciate your coming to those conclusions and accommodation. Chair, entertain a motion to adopt the amendments to House Bill 2715, which are 2715-1, LC 2357. Representative Baumann.
So moved.
Representative Baumann moves those amendments. Any discussion on the amendments? Are there any objections to the amendments? Not, Chair, entertain a motion on the to send House Bill 2715 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
And I will so move.
Representative Baumann moves House Bill 2715 to the full committee as amended with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the bill as amended? Not, clerk call roll.
Baumann?
Aye.
Miller?
No.
Springer?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye. Thank you very much, Ellen. Appreciate that. I think we'll just set 2553 aside. Unless somebody wants to really go through it. And let's take a 5-minute recess.
We're going to have caucus.
Oh, we're going to have caucus here anyway. So let's see.
I think the earliest we'll be back is 4:30. Maybe if we can be excused from floor session. It's possible we may be excused from earlier floor sessions at 4. We'll ask for that. I'll approach the speaker.
It's likely to be a call on one of the bills.
It's going to be a call on that 179.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
We don't need to call.
As far as work session, we've got... which ones are left here? 2550, 2551. And so we'll have to recess with the hope of coming back, and we'll try to get out of as we can. So luck to all of us. I want to move to work session. We're still in work session on House Bills 2550, 2551. And somebody step out in the hall and grab Mr. Linda, and I would appreciate it.
Maybe.
Would you get Mr. Linda for me? This is Mr. Linda. This is a work session of the House Bill 2550-2551. This is not Ways and Means. Switch gears. You're here. Okay. Do you need help?
I
do.
Need a file.
Thank you. Okay. 2550-2551. We are, for those, I guess everybody here knows what's happening. There's a floor session. We're subject to call until we keep working until the call, if there is one. These bills both relate to criminal records and fingerprinting. We've had hearings on them previously. There are some, I believe, some changes. And Mr. Linden, I'm just going to ask you to assist us. Which way do you want to proceed on these?
Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd like to very briefly outline what our current thoughts are on both these bills. And take them together, or do you want to deal with one?
I'd like to, yes. We have a letter, a memorandum here from the Judge Beatty also, and so we may want to ask some comments there. Why don't you let us know where you're at?
Okay. Addressing, for the record, Bill Linden, State Court Administrator, addressing House Bill 2550. This bill, sponsored by the Criminal Justice Council, relates to the need for fingerprinting criminal defendants, and the only point I wanted to make on this bill, and I'm not going to offer any amendments to it, is simply that our expectation of what's going to happen in this bill is the judges from the bench will inquire as to whether or not the defendant has been fingerprinted, and if they answer that they have not, the judge will tell the defendant to go get fingerprinted. The only possible amendment that I was made aware of, the Sheriff's Association sent me a letter recently that indicated they thought there needed to be more specific language about who was the responsible law enforcement agency, and their recommendation is that it be the arresting or investigating police agency. I'm not aware if they're preparing amendments, however, to incorporate that change.
Okay, I think Criminal Justice Counsel, Judge, you're here. Would you like to come up with, just stick with 55?
Judge Jones also is with me.
Yes, Jones, do you want to?
Team up on
it. Yeah, pretty soon you'll have the weight gets more over there and bodies and
okay. Okay. All right. Jack Beatty, Chair of Criminal Justice Counsel, Vice Chairman. Our expectation is that this bill provides a safety net for fingerprinting. The fingerprinting is supposed to be done in the first instance by the arresting agency. Because of the problems with jail crowding and with arresting on citation, time taken at booking, from the testimony that we have heard, it appeared necessary to have a catch down the road to be sure that this is accomplished. The logical place to catch this is at arraignment. Because if somebody appears having been cited, then that's the first time they can. There's an opportunity to book them. And sometimes they are simply not printed because the line is too long when they're just simply arrested. In this instance, we would simply expect the judge who is arraigning the defendant to ascertain if an individual has been printed. And that would be a customary question from the bench, unless the district attorney present or the arresting officer indicated that affirmatively that he had been printed. If the individual has not already been fingerprinted, it's the responsibility of the officer, the enforcement officer present at that time. That may be a district attorney, usually is in the case of felonies. Some misdemeanors, it'll be an arresting officer. We see no reason why this kind of a safety net won't function.
Well, is there any? You're not proposing any amendments, then, Mr. London. Just want to have on the record about the question of clarification. Okay, this is a work session. We do have 4550 before us, Mr. Taylor.
Right, Mr. Chairman. I think at the hearing we talked about the possibility of placing amendments in this bill, not to affect this bill, but more ORS 181.511. To clear up some ambiguity in the statute that may exist as to who is to be fingerprinted. People who have been arrested for what crimes. I think if we could pass an amendment in conceptual form, and then I could work with Legislative Council, who's already given me a handwritten draft in this area.
I think if you recall, there was a question about that statute, the 181. You want to, why don't you give us with the conceptual? This would be in Section 2 mm-hmm. of the bill, when a person first appears before the court for a crime, and the question was which. So, which the...
This bill would clarify the statute so that it would be people who are convicted of certain felonies and any misdemeanor other than offenses which involve criminal sexual conduct. Yes, well, they would be also included within that. Or any crime which involves a violation of the Uniform Controlled Substance Act. So those people who are convicted of felonies, misdemeanors involving criminal sexual conduct and violations of the Uniform Controlled Substance Act. This would make the statutes more clear that these people were the ones to be fingerprinted. There's evidently some confusion out there among the law enforcement community. Some of them just fingerprint these, others fingerprint all those involved.
I think this was a matter of clarification rather than, I think you're already doing that in any case. Is that understood? Well,
it's muddled now because you have to go back and interrelate the sections to reach the interpretation as to what the requirement is. The amendments conceptual amendments sound appropriate to me. They leave things in a status quo, and they will probably eliminate a considerable amount of reporting, unnecessary reporting.
Okay, well, the chair would entertain a motion to conceptually, but these amendments are actually were handwritten by the Legislative Council, so it would be the amendments clarifying specifically the language relating to what times are fingerprinted as discussed.
So moved.
Representative Springer moves those conceptual amendments to House Bill 2550. Any discussion? Any objection? Not so ordered. Entertain a motion on the bill.
Move the bill as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Springer moves House Bill 2552 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the bill. Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Green?
Aye.
Burton? Aye. As long as you're here, should we do 2551?
Mr. Chairman, 2551, I think, presents a few more problems than the previous bill. The bill shifts to the courts the responsibility for completing felony disposition reports. The Judicial Department agrees with the Criminal Justice Council that this information is absolutely crucial to decision makers in the criminal justice process. The fact that the district attorneys have a mandatory responsibility right now that they're not fulfilling, I think, is the motivating factor behind the shift to the courts. The basic problem, or perhaps problem isn't the right word, but the basic concern I have is that we're being asked to assume a largely labor-intensive manually performed responsibility that is going to take more time and cost the system some money. And the alternative that I would like to propose is that we phase in the assumption of this responsibility as our courts become computerized so that we can transmit this data by electronic data processing means, and that as we transition into the fully automated state court system, the district attorneys on an individual county-by-county basis are relieved of the responsibility, but that we don't assume it in its labor-intensive form, rather we assume it as we computerize and as our courts can perform this efficiently within a data processing network. I'll let the representatives of the council speak to that issue because we have a disagreement here, but that, I think, is the best option because I don't think it's a good expenditure of state funds for us to have to take this bill to Ways and Means and go after the positions, the people that we would need to complete this new function in the trial courts. The trial courts who we have asked to comment on the bill have unanimously said it will take more time and people and cost money. And I think that rather than spend those state funds to hire more people to complete these disposition forms, we ought to phase into this system. Eventually the courts will be doing all of it. But as we go, the district attorneys will be responsible for what they're responsible for now, and we'll just have to be strongly encouraged to do that, and perhaps a budget note attached to their appropriation bill might be a proper way of emphasizing the need for them to fulfill what is already an existing responsibility. Judge Binney?
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, judges are already required, because of the bifurcated nature of this statute, judges are already required to fill out the disposition reports in the case of sex and drug misdemeanors, both district and circuit judges, when they have a misdemeanor. What they're not doing now, not required to do now, is to handle the felony disposition reports. Obviously, the procedure ought to be the same in both cases. Next, with respect to the district attorneys, the Judicial Department has a centralized administration, and rather than attempt to secure compliance through 36 separate district attorneys who have no centralized administration, it makes much more sense to have the Judicial Department do it. It relates to an integral function of the Judicial Department, the final disposition report on each case. Now, I understand Mr. Linden's position, and I agree with him entirely, that if we were simply talking about what is a better way of handling things, it would be much smoother to phase this in using computers and end up with a functioning system in 1991. The fact is that all of the things that we need to do to evaluate the criminal justice system, to develop sentencing guidelines, to make accurate predictions for what is needed in space and where and how much. Decisions that are going to be made in the next 2 years depend on accurate information available as of now. We don't have it. We can't get it. There's no way of getting it unless we correct the reporting system right now. So it seems to me that the only choice, if we're going to do this job, the only choice is to have the Judicial Department perform it, because they're the ones who can do it, they're the ones who can centralize it and control it accurately, and make it possible for other elements of the system to have that information available. Now, I think there is no question that it is more cumbersome to do this manually until such time as the elements of computers come online. And I think that it will require some additional personnel. I don't know how. I think we'd have to examine it to see how much will be required, but that will be cheap. And I emphasize it, that will be a cheap expenditure compared to the cost of having wholly inaccurate information, which is what our situation is at the present time. So I would respectfully suggest that this is something that we ought to do, and it's got to be done this session. Judge Jones may have some comments, particularly on the mechanics of this, because he's familiar with how the state system is coming online with respect to computers.
Back when I was first appointed to the Criminal Justice Council, I took this problem up with the Chief Justice, who stated that it was his position that it would be the court's responsibility for this type of data gathering, and that we would gather it centrally. So that was approved conceptually. What we've run onto is some glitches from mechanics, and it's a number matching situation. And I'm convinced that it can be resolved with, number one, without asking the legislature for a dime in respect to additional personnel. Having spent 20 years on the circuit court and Judge Beatty in almost the same amount of time, I can assure you, I don't care how busy or you are, there is dead time for your staff. Jury selection, settled times, cases are settled, what have you. The judge has staff and can discharge this responsibility. This does not have to be done within 24 hours to get a report into the state police. The problem is matching the state police number, the SID number, criminal identification number, the DA's number, and the court number. And I'm convinced, I talked to the Chief Justice, and fortunately he's been ill and it's been chaotic with these other things going on, that I'm convinced that this can be handled administratively. So all that we ask is conceptually, administratively, without asking for seven additional spots, because if that's the cost is very, very high indeed. And I would be hard-pressed to say it could be justified. So what I'm saying is that I hope you will approve this in concept, and then by the time it gets to Ways and Means, that we will administratively have this thing whipped as far as how to match up these numbers.
Let me ask a clarifying question. I had some discussions with Mr. Linden on this. Each case, of course, is disposed of, and there is a disposition form that often may, as I understand, vary from court to court. In the case of Marin County, as I understand, the disposition form is very formal and stricter. In some cases, they may be written on the back of the back of a napkin, and gotten in. That's often the way that goes. This form that we're talking about here is not that disposition form. It is, in fact, the report that's given to the state police, which takes its information off of the judgment, final judgment orders. And it's that second piece that we're talking about. This is the information that collectively gives us the data, that, and I would certainly, and that's my interest in this, is I believe the same one that both of you gentlemen have, and that information being available for the prospective information we need to have in designing sentencing guidelines and these kinds of things. So it's in critical information. My question right now is that if we shift this responsibility over to the court, administrator's office, what the effect is of that, of actually getting us the information any more quickly or in any more defined form than we're getting it right now. I understand that some of these are blocked up, backed up in certain courts, 3,000 to 4,000. Or, I'm sorry, I'm saying that wrong. They have dropped off in the numbers between the last couple of years down from, and Mr. Linden, maybe I think you had some information that showed where they had, or someone showed us where those have been reduced over a period of time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
They've been coming down, and the question is, why aren't they being sent in? Why are they getting backed up? Then it would appear that these are quite a bit numbers, and I don't know what the reason for that is. But in the discussion, it would seem to me, as from a management sense, that the logical progress in this question would be to computerize those forms ultimately, except you have to have fingerprints on them, and how do you computerize the fingerprint cards, and it's those kinds of questions. And then the state police are used to dealing with these forms in a non-computerized format, so they have some problems. So my question, after having said all of that, is what is the, if we were to shift this responsibility to the court administrator, would we really get these forms and this information together as we need for the reasons that we need it any more quickly?
I can answer that from the Chief Justice's point of view, if he chooses to assert it, and that he is in charge of the administration of courts, and all he has to do is say, as Chief Justice, I direct the circuit judges to report all felonies as required by statute, and or all reporting is required by statute, and it's his responsibility to ensure that it is done. There are 17 counties that are online now, Oregon Judicial Information Network, and then it would be his responsibility and to do that. And he can also say, and judges, you will not shuck this off onto the court clerks who are loaded and are pushed to this stretching point. I'm absolutely in agreement with Mr. Linden that they can't push this load off onto the clerks. This load has to be done by judicial staff. And if it's done that way, I think that's the solution.
Mr. Chairman, the fiscal impact information we've received from all of the trial courts would anticipate that this function would be performed as it's always been performed, which is in the clerk's office. Now, if the committee would like me to, I'd be happy to go back and survey judges and find out whether or not they feel their staff can handle this new load. That is not a question we asked them. The fiscal impact was developed based on the assumption that they'd be handled in the clerk's office, which is the way they typically are handled.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bauman.
Mr. Linden, it seems to me that if a priority is set by the legislature, obviously we can't set the priority for the Chief Justice. If the priority is established by the legislature, I think that's the first step in actually getting time committed to this task, because there are a lot of tasks to do and everybody does something 24 hours of the day. This certainly sounds like something that is critical for the system to own now. And I think what the subcommittee is trying to do is send the message that there's a priority. And what I'm hearing Justice Jones say is that it is possible from the trial court bench perspective to allocate time to a task if the priority message is there. But if there is no message regarding priority, I wouldn't expect these to just be done. And I'm really hearing Judge Beatty's message as well, which is it would be nice to wait until the computer is up, but the information is really necessary to the system now.
We do have, if I may speak, Dorothy Coy from Multnomah County District Court, who offered it seemed to me, an appealing solution to this. The state police, I don't know, do you have the exhibits as to what's...
I've seen one of the disposition forms. I don't know if you have them.
I think we showed one. To the
I don't know if the state police are here for that reason.
Well, in any event, she said if when they get this, there's no way to attach to make any significance of this state police number, this SID number. There's no court number and there's no DA's number. You've got the same booking information here. If the state police would attach the citation or arrest form to this,
at least as far as misdemeanors are concerned, they could track them. And I wonder if you might want to hear from her. I don't speak from experience. She would.
Would you like to hear from her? I would be glad to have someone up here to help clarify that. Just don't just pull up another chair there. You can please just pull up another chair there if you like. And you just thought you were okay. Just for the record, to give us your name and.
Dorothy Corey, Trial Court Administrator for Multnomah District Court.
The question, let me try to pose a question because what you've got is being a management information system analyst background from years ago. I'm fascinated by what I see as somebody's created a very cumbersome system here that isn't up to date. And my thought on this is when we just got through putting out that fingerprint bill, and I understand that that's a different fingerprinting process in the two cases, is that I thought, why can't we join those two together by giving a reference number on this particular disposition form to the other sheet and allowing this fingerprints to be taken off of this one? You only need one sheet of fingerprints. In fact, if everybody comes in and has to get fingerprinted initially, that would be okay. That'd be a matter of changing that form so it's a computerized form. So it could all be done electronically, which I think is what ultimately is going to happen. And Mr. Linden's argument here is, let us do that and phase the rest of these things in. In the meantime, let's say we don't do that and we ask the court administrator to proceed as the judge and the justice here have asked. Is it going to be easy for you to do that and provide these in a timely manner if you're directed to do so through the court system by the Chief Justice?
If it continues at the way that they are presently handled, coming in separately from the complaint or the indictment, if it's in circuit court, or from the traffic citation, if it's filed by a citation arrest, an extremely difficult process. In our court, where you're dealing with large numbers of filings, high volume, it is particularly a critical question. If a document like this came in attached to the complaint when it was issued, then it's possible, tracking it through the court at the time the case file is in the court, that the judicial assistant or the courtroom clerk could handle it at time of disposition. There is a problem, as I say this, because I know in some courts they don't actually, in the circuit court side, work off the file. Now, we do. We always work off the file, but that doesn't always happen in some courts, so there would have to be some change in management there. But the logistics right now are that these come in willy-nilly over a period of time. The court is acting on the cases. The cases have traveled out into a variety of places, and the matchup problem is horrendous. We only send down on the sex and drug offenses. And today I found out from the judges that that was legally correct. I've been thinking all along that I was violating the law. But that's all we can manage to do with the volume that we have come in now. And it's always a low priority because it takes so much time. And that's about the best. And as to the future, yes, the laser optics ability that are out now, it is possible someday to have something like that photograph computerized and done on an online stream.
Mr. Bauman?
Judge, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I've made the assumption from the beginning, having watched the Judicial Department function for many years and participated in it, that when something needs to be done and everyone agrees that it's got to be done, it's remarkable how fast the prospect of hanging sharpens the wits. And I don't have the slightest doubt that once this responsibility is transferred, if you transfer it, that we're going to get a new form worked out with the state police, because that form can easily be modified and still comply with the statute, certainly, and that we'll work out a common numbering system so we don't have 15 different numbers running around on these sheets, and we'll get them attached to the complaints in the circuit and district court, and that we'll have a much simpler system, albeit manual in those ones who are not computerized. Now, if we have one numbering system straight through, then you don't need to have the fingerprints go along with the final disposition report, because you can connect them together using a single numbering system. So I think those mechanics can be worked out. The problem now is people don't have any real reason to do what's supposed to be done, and it's not being done.
Let me just put the question back to Ms. McCoy, is it?
Yes.
If the law passes, if we pass the bill and pass out as law, basically it directs that this activity be done, and I assume that that's the priority by which it would be given, given the interest here. What would you, given if there were no more, if it was laid upon your desk to do this, what would not be done in its place? Or would you somehow manage to do this if given the right amount of forms and that sort of thing? If the system was set up right, would it cause an impact on your workload?
What would happen is there would probably be delay in getting that done, prioritized or not, because unfortunately most of what comes into a court system is already prioritized. I cannot delay the receipt of cases as they're being filed. We cannot delay the administrative.